Good day and welcome to the podcast, To Be More. I'm your host, TJ Smith. To Be More is exactly what we want. We want to be more than some of the problems that we all know exist in our metro area. So one of the areas that I think is less talked about in our city, but I believe deserves much more attention, is the food. And I'm not talking about just seafood. Of course, we're known for our steamed crabs, even though some people in other parts of the country have had the notion to let their crustaceans hit the water. We know that's a no-no. Can't boil seafood, but some people do it and they like it, but that's there to each their own. Yes, Baltimore is not only Charm City, but it's Foodie City. If you're a foodie, there is something for everyone. From vegans to steaks and seafood and fruits and desserts, it's here. And my guest today has carved a niche in highlighting some of Baltimore's best. Miss Simone, better known as Charm City Table, joins me on To Be More today. How are you, Miss Charm City Table?
I'm doing great, TJ. Thanks for having me on. I'm really excited.
Yes, thank you for joining me. And the first thing I want to know is I'm hungry, and I want to know if you brought me a virtual sample of some of the.
I wish. I'm doing a lot of vegan week. It's Maryland Vegan Week right now, so I have a ton of vegan food in the fridge. So if you're into plant based, I have, you know, I can bring some virtual stuff over now.
You know, I have to try my best to be better at trying vegan food. I really do. I haven't quite gotten into it. And I think what needs to happen is I need to be tricked. So yeah. Tell me a little bit more about Vegan Week and some of the places that are participating.
Sure. So we have Vegan Week is in its fifth year. It's actually all across Greater Maryland, but it's hyper-focused in the Baltimore metro area. And so we have 50 restaurants participating this time around. And that's anywhere from, you know, higher end fine dining restaurants to some fast casual places. If you need to be tricked, I really recommend going to Golden West Cafe. They have a lot of the menu items. Like they have like a fried chicken, like a Southern fried chicken platter. They have a citrus banh mi that's just like, it tastes like a meaty sandwich. But I always tell people to start off, if you like fruits and veggies, if you like going to the farmer's market, whatever, to start off with something, you know, more plant-based, something that looks like, you know, mushrooms or veggies or whatever, and kind of take it from there. But yeah, Vegan Week's a lot of fun, and it actually goes on a couple of weeks, but I really don't know why we call it Vegan Week, because it literally goes on about 3-4 weeks.
Vegan month.
It's, month, yeah. So it is a really good time, though. I get to try a lot of new vegan food. So like I said, fried green tomatoes in the fridge. I have like the Southern fried chicken platter, a couple good sandwiches, so lots of good stuff.
Well, you got me at fried green tomatoes. I will say that. I'll say, you know, we'll be name dropping a little bit here. Not that we're endorsing any particular places. We can't, because there's so many.
There are so many. And I love so many. There are so many restaurants. Yeah. That's when people ask me to pick favorites. I'm like, that is very hard.
So we're going to name places today, but this is not all inclusive. But Miss Shirley has some really good fried green tomatoes with crab meat on them, and they're definitely some of my favorites. So I guess it's not vegan anymore if I put crab meat on it.
Yeah, it's not.
Look, see, the vegans are coming
out. Take the crab meat off, and you're eating vegan.
See, I failed Vegan Week. Already, from off the top, I'm going for the fried green tomatoes with the crab.
Yes.
But okay. Well, how about this? Take me. I want to know how you got started with this. How did you get started with the food blogging?
Yeah, sure. So I really just got started. I always tell people that I started Charm City Table in May of 2017. So it's coming up on year 5 of doing this. And really the groundwork for it started probably 2 years back. I had, I went to college in Richmond. I moved back to Baltimore for work, you know, to just move back home, see if I could find, you know, a nice little entry level job. And I got a job down in Harbor East. And that's, you know, a very It's a lot of restaurants in that area. A lot of bars in that area, Harbor East and Fells Point are right there. And I used to go out to my coworkers. We were all young and very social. We used to just go out to different restaurants around the Harbor East Fells Point area for happy hour. You know, if a coworker was coming, leaving, whatever, we always picked a new spot. All of us were pretty adventurous eaters in general. And when I started going out, I didn't eat out a whole lot before then. So I was very blown away by Baltimore's food scene. Like there were just so many different options. And I was very impressed because even as a young person traveling, living in Richmond, traveling, you know, just throughout the United States, I always kind of thought Baltimore's known for its crabs, crab cakes, and that's really about it. But I saw so many options, so many things that everyone could enjoy. So I started taking pictures of it and documenting it just out of fun for myself on my personal Instagram. And then I think along the way, I really just developed a passion for it. So I sat one day and I always had in the back of my head, I should start a food blog. I should start some sort of food page, website, platform. And then when I was on Instagram, I looked up food bloggers because New York by that time had a ton of food bloggers and I would always see those come across, you know, my feed. But Baltimore, I did my own research and I saw maybe two people were food blogging. Now, once I got into it, I saw a couple of others. And I was like, nobody's really, not a lot of people at least are doing this here. So I took my pictures that I took along the way from, you know, 2015 on up. And kind of sorted through them, came up with a name, just brainstorming, you know, in a journal. And that's how I got started, just posting pictures every day. I would try a restaurant like once a week during that time, during that 2017 period. But I would also use older pictures from experiences that I had done in years past. And that's how I was able to remain consistent. So that's kind of how I got started. And I always say it's like my own exploration of the food scene. So back then, I didn't know a whole lot about the culinary world, the food and beverage industry, the hospitality industry. Like that was all learned along the way, which is a lot of fun. So while it was, you know, exciting, it's also been a learning experience. And it's also been a great way for me to like connect to Baltimore a little bit more. I've always loved the city. And I've always thought it was a lot greater than some of the narrative that you hear out there. So I feel like that was a great way for me to just show another side of the city, which is its thriving food scene.
Yeah. And, you know, you bring up an interesting point. You're a native of Baltimore, just as I am. And it's this weird scenario of segregation, just say it flat out. You grew up here, I grew up here, and both of us didn't realize how big of a deal the food scene was growing up, and not until we became adults and independent adults and really well into adulthood that we saw how much food existed in the city and the different neighborhoods, especially. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, absolutely. Especially, you know, when you even think about it, that's kind of always been here. You know, we've had Greek Town, which has so many Greek restaurants. We have Little Italy, you know, we have, you know, certain neighborhoods of East and West Baltimore that have just a ton of soul food spots. So, you know, it's always been there. I think, you know, we just kind of, you know, hear the crabs and the crab cakes and stick very closely to that, but right, absolutely.
Right. So did it surprise you how quickly things took off for you? I mean, I know 5 years ago seems like an eternity now, but it seems like for us who've been following you for a while, it took off. It really took off.
Yes, I was very surprised at how quickly it took off, actually. And I think, you know, I came in at the right time. A lot of new concepts were opening up and I really just put myself out there, like I said, at the right time. I started, like I said, in May of 2017 and that was late May. So I think around June, July is when I got my very first invitation to you know, to a tasting, to come to a restaurant opening, taste the food and drinks and, you know, post and share about it. And that was, you know, that was one of those things when starting Charm City Table and writing, you know, the names down in my journal and, you know, my goals for it. That was probably something a year or two out that I had envisioned for the platform and for it to happen in 30 days. Like it at the time, it blew my mind. I was like, no way. But also, you know, and just over the last couple of these past, these recent years, like 2020 on, to really see it, you know, the platform and a lot of my work thrive during the pandemic, you know, when things were very much shut down and restaurants were very much struggling, you know, to be able to connect people with these restaurants, to note their hours of operation, to note, you know, their specials, their pivots from, you know, whatever they did pre-COVID to the carryout, that really pushed, you know, elevated my platform a little bit and gave it a little bit more attention than I had seen in the past. So I'm just very grateful for the progress that I've seen over the years, but I think it did take off very quickly, you know, compared to my expectations. And even now it still continues to grow.
And I was just going to ask you about that. How did you manage during the height of the pandemic? And did your business plan or your model change?
Yes, for sure.
In person was shut down for.
Yes, 100%. So I think, you know, like I said, when I started it, got that first invite, you know, the invites were spaced out. Maybe, you know, I would go to something once every 2 weeks. And then by, you know, 2018, 2019, I was going to 2 and 3 dinners or events or openings in a week. So it was a very, you know, very busy time, a very social scene where, you know, a lot of the bloggers were going, food bloggers specifically, were going to these restaurants, restaurant events, and then posting about them. And then, you know, it was very, it was a lot of fun. And it was also very, very light on the pockets, I'll say. You know, it was just hot meals. So you got to share your experience. But during COVID, a lot of, you know, the food events obviously stopped. We had to social distance, especially during 2020. We had no idea what to expect. You know, it was a very scary time. These restaurants were completely shut down. So I really sat again and just brainstormed a way that my food blog would, you know, pivot from, hey, I went to this event this night. We tried these items. I like this. I didn't like this. To, you know, what am I going to do now? Because you can't, we literally aren't doing that anymore. So I thought, you know, my thing was, and I also wanted to help these restaurants. I mean, at the, you know, you're thinking they helped me early on with, you know, inviting me to these events very early on, you know, even celebrating the food blogging scene in general. You know, they don't, it's obviously a give and take there, but I'm very grateful and appreciate those times that I got to work with a lot of those restaurants. So I really wanted to help them out during this time. So I thought to just keep an eye on the restaurants. You know, some people will reach out to me and ask me for ways that, you know, that they've seen other restaurants kind of pivot their model for takeout. Some restaurants will specifically reach out and ask, you know, me to post and share their hours. So that gave me the idea to just do that for all the restaurants that I know of and that I keep an eye on. Like, it didn't matter if I, you know, love that restaurant specifically or not. But it kind of became a little bit of a mission to, like, you know, use the platform that I have with, you know, a couple thousand followers to share their hours of operation, like to share their specials, things like that. And then that's when I really launched Twitter as well. I wasn't on Twitter before COVID heavily. And I figured Twitter was a great way to get information out there and to show people that Baltimore did have a thriving food scene that did need some, you know, that did need some love right now. So I started doing a lot of those threads.
And they went COVID. Viral.
Yes, a lot of them went viral. Yes, to show people.
Happy hour threads.
Yes.
Or, yeah.
Yeah,
carry
so anything
out, drink
you need.
Threads, yes.
Yeah. So Mediterranean, like I said, Mediterranean, Greek food, happy hours, right. All the crab foods you can get in Baltimore, you know, and I would use that to make it fun and then to also share the restaurant's hours. So if you look in there, you know, in this 2020, 2021, you'll see me say, oh, this is carry out only right now. They plan to reopen then. So it just became a fun way to do that exercise of just, you know, continuing to promote those restaurants and put them in front of people so they know they exist and they can support them and also enjoy a great meal. So that was really the pivot in 2020. And it kind of really, that's when Charm City Table turned from more of it's still a lot of fun, but it turned a lot from a hobby into more of a business where I do, you know, I do social media consulting and, you know, I do some brand deals and things like that. So that's, I think COVID really was that pivot from just a hobby going to events to actually being a little bit more strategic in terms of a business.
So is this now in your full-time job?
This is not my full-time job. I still work part-time for another company in the ed tech field, but this is the reason I am part-time there is because I'm, you know, I'm working on transitioning to full-time right now. So more to come on that.
that's great. I mean, it's you're still showing people it's a hustle. And, at the same time, I some introverts that will be listening to this going crazy because they're thinking you have to go out 3 to 4 times a week and talk to a bunch of people because that's also part of the give take of this.
As an introvert myself, that was the toughest part. I mean, I love people, but, you know, after a social interaction, like I am truly dream. Those events, you know, it's one of those things, you just kind of find your people. And like for a while, I stuck pretty closely to the people that I met first along the way. And like now, you know, over the last couple of years, I've branched out to, you know, network and talk to a little bit more people. But I would say the good thing about having an online platform is that you can keep it as online or as in person as you want. You know what I'm saying? So it's just one thing I do like about having a platform like this is that you do get to control how much you go out, how much you stay in, who you socialize with, who you don't. So it's a good speed for introverts who are.
So do your friends go out with you when you do some of these tastings and these events?
Yes. I usually go out. I will say my main people that I go out with are my other food blogger friends, my sister and my husband, but I do invite other friends just to go out with me on a whim. But those are my main folks.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to be one of your friends. I need to be in that circle so I can enjoy some of the
food. You are more than welcome. I will be emailing you for what I have. There's always some times where I'm like, oh, I should bring some other people to this. So if you have some food interests, let me know and I'll keep you in mind.
So with that, from a health perspective, how do you manage that? Because I know some people, I used to post about food often as well. I don't know if I was trying to become a food blogger. I just was trying to promote the businesses. And then you always have the people that would want to preach to you, stop eating that stuff, you know? So it's lots of good food and it's not necessarily always the healthiest that you're consuming on a regular basis. So how do you manage that part of this?
It depends, you know, it ebbs and flows for me. I think there are times where I do get tired of eating out specifically and just I'm like, I don't want another takeout box in this house. I just want to cook myself a meal. Or I just want to have a day where, you know, I just eat smoothies. Like I don't even eat solid foods today. Like I'm just tired of it. But I think, like I said, having my sister, I'm having my husband. Also, I have a very big family, so I do this thing where I will drop off leftovers to them. So, like, sometimes those tasting events are me literally just cutting off a piece and tasting it and saying, oh, my cousin likes a good crab cake. Hey, what you doing? I'm coming to drop off some food. So while I do taste everything that I post so I can get an idea of how it tastes, I'm not always eating a full spread of food. And like I said, I really do a lot of listening to my own body where if I really don't feel like, you know, eating a lot of that food, I just don't do it. So it's definitely a balance. I know when I first started, I would eat, you know, everything that was put in front of me, but it's just, you know, you get tired of it and you listen to your body and it's fine. And I love to move, you know, you go walking, hiking, whatever. So it's something for everybody to manage on their own. But I wouldn't say, you know.
It's It's just one of those things that I know I love to eat out all the time. And it's, you know, it can affect you or whomever. And I've always wondered that because I see some of the food bloggers and I see how much they're able to get. And I know that some of it is tastings, of course, but I may be wondering. And to that end, and I don't know, you might not be able to answer this question, but I wanted to ask you, in your travels in the metro area, have you run across any places that maybe specifically for us Black folks especially, you know, with the health risk, with diabetes and heart disease, any places that you've seen prepare meals with that in mind, where it might be for diabetics, it might be for lower heart disease, or they're preparing it with that in mind? Anything like that stick out to you?
I have seen some restaurants. There's one restaurant in mine, unfortunately, they ended up closing down. They were over in East Baltimore that would make, you know, traditional soul food meals, and you could call and give them, you know, tell them what restrictions that you have as far as your diet, and they would make that same plate. You know, it was, I just love that they had those options for folks. But yeah, you do see that occasionally, especially in Baltimore. There are a handful of restaurants that do specifically make meals for folks, you know, to promote more nutrients and things like that. But I really haven't seen it done like the place, the Crestline Kitchen that's closed down. They were really on it in terms of, you know, you could call in, order a plate, tell them your dietary restrictions, and they would make that plate for you, you know, cater to you specifically.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. There are a few places that specifically promote, you know, healthier, lighter eating, or traditional soul food with, you know, certain things taken out or put in terms of, you know, bulking up the nutrients there.
Yeah. And it is a vegan month. Vegan few weeks or what have you. So
yes, it is vegan week. So, and we in Baltimore, you know, in addition to, you know, if we're breaking it off and just looking at certain types of food, Baltimore also has a thriving food scene. I even last month I visited probably 15 or 20 vegan restaurants, and you know, more than half of those were Black owned restaurants because I was doing a campaign for Black History Month. And so just seeing how many are here now and how many good ones there are was very, very exciting for me. I was excited at how much I enjoyed the food, how much I enjoyed the atmosphere at a lot of those vegan places.
Nice. That's great to hear. It's really great to hear. Now, can you tell me a few off the beaten path places that people really need to try that we might not have heard about, because there are some nooks and crannies in and around the city, and I know you venture out of the city at times, so are there a couple that come to mind that are like off the beaten path?
Yes. One of the places that I had in mind when I was talking about vegan food is Refocused Vegan. They're on Utah Street, and I had heard of it. People always kind of have told me, inboxed me and told me to visit. But it's at least now that Howard Street's kind of building up businesses, it's in an area where a lot of businesses are, but before it was kind of on its own. And I thought their food was really good. They have a full bar. It's very cute inside of there. So Refocused Vegan is one of those places that I'd say is a little off the beaten path. It's not where all the main restaurants are sitting. Puerto 511, they're like a Peruvian restaurant closer to downtown. And the food's more elevated. They have a couple, you dine in and you get a couple courses. And it's just really creative, delicious food on the higher end. I feel like they're a hidden gem. And I always rave about Cookhouse. Cookhouse is in the Bolton Hill neighborhood. And their dinner really just took off after, you know, so many years literally of trying to do it, and then COVID happened, but they have a lot of creative food, a lot of English food that great presentation, great flavor, and a wonderful bar. And it's just very swanky inside. And it doesn't really sit near any other restaurants again. So I would, that's one of my favorite hidden gems as well.
And definitely a community restaurant for sure. I've been to two out of the three. Actually, I've only eaten at one out of the three. But Puerto 5, is it 511 or 511? I'll tell you a story behind that. I actually had the honor on behalf of the Famous Fund, Jimmy's Famous Fund. I was able to be on the Tamron Hall show, and we awarded Puerto 511 or 511. I can't remember which one it was. I actually had to
re-record it. I think it is 11. I think you're right. Yeah.
Whatever it is, I had to re-record it for the show because I said it incorrectly and I had to re-record it. But we awarded them $15,000 during the pandemic, and they were our next up, and I got to surprise the chef. He had no idea. He just thought they were recognizing him. I almost cried. I'm an emotional wreck these days. You know, I cry about everything. So, just so emotional watching all of these top businesses, struggle to make it through. And he thought he was just preparing some tastings for Tamron Hall and her crew. And I was hiding behind a van, and I came over with the big check, and turned it around, and he was just stunned.
Oh, that's amazing. I think I did see at least the photos from that. That is, Famous Fund in general was really, really amazing to see and witness during that time. Because like I said, it was just such a scary, uncertain time. Right. Especially for the restaurant industry and hospitality industry in general. You didn't know if your favorite places were going to survive this. So I was excited to see there was a fund out there doing that kind of work and, giving these, giving money to these restaurants that needed it at that time.
Yeah, the wild last 2 years. So, and one of the things I saw from you talking about a wild last 2 years, I'm not going to name the place because I don't think it's necessary, but you had a bad experience at a restaurant and you had talked about it in general. And I don't even think you had named it. People picked up on what it was, but you didn't name it. But you went back multiple times afterwards and you've since had good experiences. How do you handle bad experiences? Because I noticed most of your posts are positive, but I imagine that you definitely encounter some bad experiences and some not so good food. How do you negotiate those paths?
Eating at so many places, doing so many restaurant visits, I think at least, and some people do, some people don't. I think I have a little bit of a different perspective. I think that there are really great restaurants out here that may have, a bad night. And I think that, it's kind of hard to call it sometimes where do you go to this restaurant and is it just a bad restaurant because you had a bad experience, or is this experience just a one-off? So I always go into things with that kind of frame of mind that, restaurants could have an off night and things, you can talk to people and things can be negotiated. What I've always stuck to with Charm City Table, especially a year two or three, I remember going to this restaurant that's now closed, but they gave us this beautiful food, this beautiful spread, and I posted it. And this is when I was small. I don't really think I was at 10,000 followers yet. And we had the food that people, two or three people had reached out and said, "This is my crab dip. This did not look like what you posted." And it kind of shook me up a little bit in that I'm like, it looked completely different, DJ. Like, I was genuinely shocked. And from then on, I was like, I'm going to comment a little bit about my experience, because I want people to understand that this is my personal experience and it can differ from yours. So I started really talking about my experience, what I thought of the food. Whether the food was absolutely delicious to me or not for me, I would say I'd never go off and say, like, this was nasty, I hated this, but I'll say something that's not for me or whatever. Just kind of giving a little bit more a critique so folks know that, every place that I go, I don't absolutely love. And I feel like that honesty aspect is what, you know, allows my platform to continue to thrive. So I always have that like perspective going in. Now with restaurants like the one mentioned or the one who shall not be mentioned, right. I had a very bad experience there. I felt like I did, you know, I had talked to them at the beginning. So I already had the connection. I had talked to them before the restaurant opened, had done a lot of work to share the restaurant out with folks. And then I went there and it just, I think a lot of the servers were new. You know, there was a lot of pomp and circumstance because people hadn't been in the restaurant and hospitality industry long. So they just had a different way of doing things that I really genuinely think they did not anticipate such a buzz from their restaurant. And really it's just a conversation with people. I feel like, you know, even though I have a bad experience, again, part of my brand is to share that everything isn't perfect, but things can be worked out. So, you know, I really just talked to them and, hey, this is what happened. I'd love to come back, but I just, you know, I want to make sure, you know, I do this for myself, but I also do it for other people, you know, for other people to go to these places. And I cannot share places so freely if I know that people are going to go there and have a bad time, and me being a food blogger, me who promotes these restaurants is having a bad time. I can't, you know, I can't be sure that a lot of folks are going to do the same. So like I said, yeah, it's really just, I really like talking to people. I think all things can be worked out, or not all things, but most things can be worked out with a conversation and just coming to an understanding with people and being able to give feedback and people being open to feedback and vice versa for my platform. So that's kind of how that works. Just really chatting it out with people and figuring out where they're coming from, you know, understanding where I'm coming from and working it out from there.
Yeah. And it wasn't just you. That was a big deal back then when that all occurred. And, you know, credit to you for not, you know, engaging in the full cancel culture.
Yes, I don't know. I mean, I don't really. They, you know, unless it's something egregious, I just couldn't imagine right completely. Right. You know, and I've seen some egregious things happen along the way. But, you know, egregious things aside, they can always, you know, it's not the end of the world. You know, you have a bad experience, you talk through it, you go back. If it's the same bad experience, you know, look, maybe I just don't talk about them as much. And if you go back and it's great and I'm happy. So I'm really here to see these businesses thrive, not to necessarily, you know, write them off. So I also, you know, think about that too.
And you have to know your power, and people who amass a following and amass a certain level of power, that's the reality of it, have to know how to use that and not take advantage of it. So credit to you there, because that's a big deal for a business, a small business. And the small businesses also have to show a level of humility as well.
Yeah.
Advantage. So,
and I think the biggest thing for me is I want the food to be good, of course, but I also just really want people to be treated well. You know, you don't have to be over the moon excited, but being cordial really goes a long way with me and the way, you know, that I experience restaurants and the way I share out restaurants. So if folks are talking, you know, looking at me crazy, talking to me crazy, I'm less excited to promote things like that versus, you know, somebody, you know, going in there and having a good time. So I think, that does play a big role in a lot of my experiences is how, you know, how I feel when I'm in the restaurant. Am I having a good time or am I on pins and needles sort of thing?
Right. So I love DC. That's my home away from home. I used to frequent DC more than I frequented Baltimore back in the day. And I was just there recently, a matter of fact, but it's not a food city. And I know the DC folks get mad at me when I say it, but it really
is. Sure do.
I don't think it is. I just don't.
The quickest way to cause discourse online.
it really is, but I'm okay. I'm here for the smoke. I don't think it is a food city. It's an overpriced lounge and bar city. But anyway, that aside, do you do collaborations with foodies in other cities like DC or Philly or whatever?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'd love to expand to do more than just Baltimore and DC. But I do a lot of work. I'm actually going to DC this weekend, like on Saturday, to do a whole foodie tour. I think we're hitting 3 restaurants in the DC area. So I do a lot of, and I'm in a space now, like I said, you know, I'm typically very introverted, but I like to take advantage of the times where I am feeling a little bit more social, which is right now. Right. I'm meeting with a lot of food bloggers, chatting with a lot of folks in Philly. Like I said, DC, I already have the DC tour booked up, and just in the DMV in general.
But are y'all going to be in DC, or are y'all going to be in Montgomery County and PG County in Virginia?
All right.
As long as you're in. So I'll be looking out for that. And, you know, somebody, I'll take a step back. There are some great spots and you have to find them in D.C., you know, especially. You know, U Street, Adams Morgan. There's some different places that you can find some cultural restaurants, especially in D.C. So I will take that back. But I will say this. If you bring that cheese whiz crap from Philly down to Baltimore. Don't put that on our cheese steaks. We're not putting any cheese whiz on our cheese.
That will not happen. I would love to find a good cheese steak in Philly, but honestly, I'm there really to check out a little bit more of their fine dining scene, because it seems like they have a lot going on up there, a lot of good stuff going on in terms of like elevated fine dining. So I'm excited to see that. But, you know, I always say Baltimore cheesesteaks are better than Philly. So I know they hate that, but that's
exactly it is. And I actually tweeted this recently. When you get right around Laurel and South, it becomes steak and cheese down there. And, north, it becomes cheesesteak. Take it to the
So I've also seen, I don't know what region this is, but I see a lot of people who will comment on my thing saying chopped cheese when referring to a cheesesteak. And I'm like, who says chopped cheese? Where is that?
Weird people. They're just weird. That's all.
Very.
Can you cook?
I can. I love to cook. I don't get to cook as often as I used to because I'm doing, I do a lot of partnerships with restaurants, but it's one of those things, like when I'm taking a break, I really like to spend time, you know, hours like fixing a really nice meal. So it's one of my hobbies that I don't get to as often these days.
I'm just wondering if I'm going to be able to write you off as a tax write-off this year because of the money that I spend on eating out from looking at the page. And she made me do it. And, you know, I'm just wondering. So I want to help the ladies and the fellas out. So Boothang on a budget at about $30. I mean, I know some people might have a little bit more than that, but now we got to pay a lot more in gas prices, everything. And we want to enjoy a nice meal. Where can we go on a budget to go and enjoy a nice meal, decent enough meal? What about 30 to 50 bucks?
I think when we're talking about that, folks really need to look closely at fast casual restaurants in general. So like, I'm going to share this today, but My Wan Grill just like redecorated their space. Their food is very affordable.
Where's
and
this?
Where is it? It's downtown. What street is that? Is it Utah?
You said My Wan Grill?
Yeah, it's called My Wan Grill. It's like it's an Afghani restaurant, but they do kebabs and rice, and their food is delicious. I've been going there for years, and it's on Baltimore Street. That's what it is. It's Baltimore Street.
Okay.
And it's very cute inside, like flowers coming down off the little rafters they have up, like very cute decor, and you'll easily be able to feed two for about probably somewhere under $30. So that's a good space. Let me see, where else? I'm also thinking of like Slovakian cuisine, which is in Hamden. They do like Greek food. You can get like pita wraps and things like that. And they have a couple of chairs inside. So wherever you're thinking for like fast casual, Next Phase Cafe might be another great place where they have platters. They have a nice dining space. They have a bar. So that's good. And always, always check out a happy hour, because you can't go wrong with a nice happy hour special. Save a bunch of money at a lot of these restaurants. I really miss Bar Vasquez, because Bar Vasquez was one of my favorite spots to recommend for dates for their happy hour, because all the items on the happy hour menu were $5. So you could just get, you know, a couple of small plates, a couple of drinks, and spend like $30 and have a amazing, you know, meal in a beautiful space. But happy hours are a great place to start as well.
Wow. And you have to talk about the Patreon, because they can find out more there, I'm sure, with these.
Yeah, Patreon is a place where I host bi-monthly dinner parties, or do like gift card giveaways for the folks that support Charm City Table in general. So it really is a lot of fun. I'll do a newsletter. I do, like I said, the bi-monthly dinner parties or gift card giveaways. So it's really just a place that I created. And I'm actually thinking, I don't want to say this definitively because I'm still in conversation, but I'm thinking about moving off of Patreon into my own webpage that has a setup, just because Patreon can be very clunky and everything looks like just a stream of consciousness when you post it. And I want something a little bit more organized. But yes, join Patreon if you want bi-monthly dinner parties, gift card giveaways, and a monthly newsletter coming out.
And I'm going to just vouch for it here, just because if you're lost and you want to go somewhere to eat, which guys know this, y'all know, you ask your lady, what do you want to eat? I don't care. You have heard it. You can just go into Patreon or put in Charm City Table and find a host of places. And
yes, I love that. I get a lot of inboxes that say, you know, Charm City Table does help with that. You know, when folks can't figure out what to eat when they want to go out on a date, but they're like, I don't know. They say they'll jump on my page together and scroll through and just find a place. And I love that. I'm like, I have that problem too, where unless I'm being, you know, doing my own research and I'm like, I have to get here for content or whatever. If it's just a random day and I don't feel like cooking and want to order out, I'm like, where should I eat?
Right.
They're like, you have a whole page, Simone. What are you doing?
And for as little as, I think it's like $4.24 or so a month, joining Patreon. I mean, it's worth it. You deserve it because it's a service. And one of the things I heard today, a reoccurring theme, is try something new. I've heard about some Greek food. I heard about some Indian food. I've heard about the vegan food that I'm gonna have to try to experiment with and take the crab meat off of my fried green.
Yes.
But experiment.
At least try the fried green tomatoes without the crab meat.
I'll consider it. But I'm not putting cheese whiz on my cheesesteak. That's not gonna happen. But I will put mambo sauce on my wings. With the thing. We can work.
DC did do something with that mambo sauce.
Yes, that's how sister city is. So I'm with that. But I'm telling you, it is. Before we wrap up, the last thing I want to ask you, besides seafood, I mean, you named a couple of places, but how about some food items in particular that people must try if they come to Baltimore? Are there any other things besides like the steamed crabs that people come to Baltimore that you have to try? You have to just eat this while you're in Baltimore. And we didn't even talk about desserts, because some of the desserts here.
I know. We have a lot of great desserts here. Let's see. I would say probably Blue Moon's. Blue Moon Cafe has this
Captain Crunch French Toast.
Yes, Captain Crunch French Toast. And they also have the Sweet Baby Jesus, which are these eggs with crab meat. And it's in this hollandaise sauce. It's amazing. You got to do Blue Moon Cafe. Of course, crab cakes. I mean, I know we said not crabs, but I feel crazy not mentioning any sort of crab cake or whatever. So you got to get a crab cake. I personally love, recently I tried the Crab Queen over in Randallstown. I think they have one of the best in the area. Coco's is also forever a personal fave. Coco's Pub's crab cake. We have so many good crab cakes. G&M. Of course, Ekubin and their chicken sandwich is pretty iconic here at this point. Where else?
And you know, have you? And I just want to throw this out there, because I know we're discussing a few things. we have two great New Orleans cuisine places here in Baltimore now, Creole Soul and Our House, and NOLA down in Federal Hill. I'm sure you've been to both.
Yes, I have.
What are your thoughts on them? I mean, I'm asking you for a review of these two places right off the top, but what do you...
You know, I really like those places. I'm nervous because, like, I know when I travel outside of Baltimore, Maryland in general, and get crab cakes, or somebody tries steamed crabs, it just does not compare. So I feel like if you're from New Orleans, maybe take, you know, what I'm saying with a grain of salt here. But I really enjoyed NOLA when I went recently. I thought their food was delicious. The atmosphere was really good. The bartenders, I sat at the bar, they were very nice. And I liked, I haven't been to Creole Soul in a little bit, but the last couple of times I went, I loved their catfish and grits. I know they have a good, like a rice and beans dish that's really good. So yeah, if you want some New Orleans food, those are the two places you'll want to start with. Also, Ice Queens. Ice Queens, they don't do food, but they do very good beignets. They have kind of New Orleans style snowballs, and like around Mardi Gras and things like that, they'll do. One of the owners, I believe, is from New Orleans.
Right.
So they do a lot of Mardi Gras, traditional New Orleans, like treats and things like that.
Oh, man. I really should have eaten before I started this conversation. Now I'm hungry.
I know, I'm hungry now, too, talking about food. I haven't eaten yet either.
It is. It really is amazing. And then you can get up on to Park Heights and get some Jamaican cuisine here in Baltimore.
Yes. Yes. Park Heights is that Jamaican food destination, isn't it? It has Judy's and
Blue Caribbean.
And they have a good Trini spot up there, too. What is it? West Indian flavor. Long wait. So please call ahead if you can. But really good roti.
Anyone who's going to get Jamaican food must know, or West Indian food, they already know. If you want authentic, you know that you might go there and the menu is not really the menu because they do not have it. But, you know, that's just the way it is. But it's good. When you get it,
it's very good. It's amazing. Yes, that's where I'm looking. I'm wanting some good Jamaican food. I'm up on Park Heights.
But I will say this, one thing that we didn't discuss today and we aren't going to discuss is chains. If you come and visit Baltimore or if you're even from Baltimore, there's no need to go to a chain restaurant in the city or the metro area because we have so many options.
So many great local restaurants. Absolutely.
So many. And they deserve our support. And the food is phenomenal because many have been here for many years. So I'm telling you now, it's go to her page, go to Charm City Tables pages, go to her Patreon, but make sure you eat first, because if you don't, you're going to be on Uber Eats.
You're going to be very hungry. Yes. Your mouth will be watering. Your stomach will be growling.
Yes. So drop your, what are your Instagram and your Twitter? And I'm sure you're on TikTok as well.
Yes. I'm Charm City Table everywhere. Yeah. So follow me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Patreon. Charm City Table, usually all one word, and you'll see Charm City Table, Baltimore Food Blogger. That's how you know you're in the right place.
All right. We are a food city. This isn't a city with just high-priced lounges and bars. There are legit food spots here, and we should enjoy them. Thank you so much, Miss Simone, a.k.a. Charm City Table, for joining us here on To Be More. And thanks to all of you as we aim to be more. Until next time, I'm about to go get something to eat. Take care.